there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. It's been busy. Been following the Reggie Bush story. If you're waking up, Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back this morning. We were 3 minutes into the show. Report from the mothership. Came over, and Reggie was in Florida with some other Heisman Trophy winners, and they gave him his Heisman back. And yes, I had a lot of questions, too. Does USC get their national title back? Does the NCAA have an opinion on this? Were they involved in this? Does Reggie drop his defamation lawsuit? So a lot of different things floating about here, but Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Sunday on NBC and Peacock, the IndyCar series continues, a stop at the Barber Motorsports Park Sunday at 1:30 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Poll question, Seton, final hour of the program, if you want to recap what we've already glossed over a little bit.
Yeah, I'd love to, Dan.
All right.
Quarterback with the most question marks.
Mm-hmm.
Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, Nix, Penix, etc. Right now, J.J. McCarthy, 40% of the vote. What are your thoughts on that?
I get it because we haven't seen what we've seen from the other quarterbacks. That you had a quarterback who plays in an old school system where he went an entire half without throwing the football against Penn State. I saw him a couple of times where he didn't look like he should be the starter, and then other times where you go, he seemed to have command of the game. He would be what I would label a game manager. I don't think he's athletically dynamic, but I think that he's a good quarterback. Now, when you win, it certainly elevates you. You're a leader. You're a winner. All of those things. But I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. I mean, he can play quarterback for a team, but is he going to be the focal point of that team? I don't get that. What was it, the first pass in the national title game nearly got picked off? It would have been maybe a pick six, but the defensive back was out of bounds. So I don't know. You know, it's like Drake May. I didn't see him perform in big games. You know, when you're beating Syracuse or, you know, Campbellville College or Campbell College, you know, that's different than if you're playing against some marquee teams. And so I'm not quite sure. I think you have the potential for maybe two great quarterbacks, and maybe you have some good quarterbacks. Maybe you have starting quarterbacks. Maybe that's what Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. They're good quarterbacks. And there's something to be said for that. And there's a lot of quarterbacks where you go, man, I would just settle for a good quarterback. The Patriots would settle for a good quarterback right now. There's a few teams. The Raiders, give us a good quarterback. You got quarterbacks, but there's a difference than a good quarterback. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, was chatting a little bit yesterday. And once again, he's all in. We still don't know if he knows exactly what all in means to us, we know what it means to him, and that is we're all in, and he was talking about the draft, that he's all in on the draft, even though in the offseason they were all in with free agency and they didn't do anything in free agency. He also not quite sure how the draft works. Here's Jerry Jones.
There's a very reason why we're 24th out of 32 teams draft that we get to pick a player this time. Because we were the 24th best in the NFL, according to the rules. And so we get to pick, everybody gets to pick before us up to 24.
Okay. The further away from the number one pick, usually the better season you had. So that, I'm going to give him a mulligan on that. He's getting up there in age, and what he said is not factually correct. You're picking, so you're saying that the Chiefs are worse than you because they're going to pick 32nd. Doesn't make sense. Also, he's keeps talking about Dak Prescott, and I just think he's totally screwed up these negotiations. Instead of signing somebody earlier, it's almost as if Dak Prescott's got to prove himself, like year-to-year basis. And then are you going to sign CeeDee Lamb, and what are you going to do with Micah Parsons? Like, you can't have three players, one making 60, one making 30, and one making 25, and try to amass a team that's going to be able to challenge some of the other great teams in the NFC. So here's Jerry talking about Dak Prescott.
I'll start it. We want Dak Prescott, so that's that. And there's no question how he improved last year. That improvement demonstrated to me there's more. So we want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth.
Okay. It's going to cost him more than it should, just like last time when I said sign him up, because – you're going to let him bet on himself, then he played well, and then it cost you more money. You know, there are times when these businessmen can be great businessmen, and then you go, what are you doing? You know, they did this with Zeke Elliott, where I said, what are you doing bringing him back? And now with Micah Parsons, he's going to want with, T.J. Watt's getting. He's going to want $30 million. And then CeeDee Lamb's going to want what Justin Jefferson's getting. He's going to want 25 to 30. I mean, you're not going to be able to afford all of these players. Or are you going to be able to keep those three and still put a competitive team around them? And that's what Jerry's hinting at with Dak. Like, Dak won't have the weapons around him. We won't be able to afford them. So he's sort of saying to Dak, you know what? You want to give a team friendly, we could probably keep some of these players. Yes, Mark.
If you're an agent, what's your advice to maybe a Dak or any of these guys that have an upcoming contract coming up? Do you just tell them, hey, bet on yourself or take the best offer that the team gives you?
If I'm Dak, I would say, all right, I'll go out and prove myself again. Because if he doesn't stay with the Cowboys, somebody else is going to sign him up. I don't want him at that price. But, you know, the agent wants you to get the most money you can get. I still think that there has to be a happy medium. There has to be like that sweet spot, like Baker Mayfield. Like, you have to understand, you're not the highest paid quarterback. I mean, Jordan Love is going to be the highest paid quarterback, probably. Let that sink in. He gave you one great year. Now it's his turn. You're going to want to spend that kind of money? You got to. But I do believe there has to be that $25 to $35 million range. And it's, you could call it the Baker Mayfield, you know, window, where you go, okay, I can get a really good salary. I don't kill the team. I get a chance to be a starter. We have some talent. The money's guaranteed. Instead of, nope, I want $10 million more. Okay. Well, then you're expendable. And we've seen these quarterbacks. They're expendable. Where you go, I can't afford that. Not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. We all know that. But if he's kind of setting the market, then all of a sudden it's going to be like, when do we get to $100 million a year? How many years down the road does somebody make $100 million a year as a quarterback in the NFL? Are we a decade away? Because we're getting up to 60 million. Steph Curry's at 60 million coming up. Baseball wise, Ohtani, it's hard to tell like what he makes per year because spread out for whatever 20 years down the road. But we're getting there. We're getting there. There's also another story. Oh, we've talked about this with, why can't you just say, if you're the Bears, we're taking Caleb Williams? And I said, because the NFL probably encourages you to not spoil the surprise. Even though we know you're taking Caleb Williams, everybody does, don't tell anybody. Here is that question to Ryan Poles, the Bears GM.
This pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
Unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So we know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday.
Okay. I would have raised my hand to say, what role is the NFL playing in this decision to not tell us? Because then you would find out if he's actually going to say, well, we were told not to by the NFL, which is true. I believe that 100%, that the NFL would just say, we're not going to announce this. We have a TV show coming up on Thursday night. Remember that. It's a TV show. We don't have to announce it. Even though your fan base would probably love it, and you know, he's probably going to say, yeah, Caleb was our guy all along, which is probably true. But they can't announce that to their fan base to say, we got our guy. And the NFL is probably saying, no. Yes, Tom.
I would have jumped on the word as you would have, unfortunately. Unfortunately, yes. Because yes. What? What's the unfortunate part that comes after that?
There's also this story about Tyrese Haliburton, the Pacers guard. And apparently his voice changes mid-sentence. Now, it happened last night. And I think it happened before with, was he on the Pat McAfee show? And it did that too. So here is Tyrese Haliburton of the Pacers.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be unbelievable. You know, no doubt about that. I mean, we've had regular season crowds better than what we've played in these last two games, you know, so we expect a great crowd. A lot of people are excited about what's to come, you know, in the series and,
you know, just the energy in the city right now with everything that's going on, but especially with us. So, you know, we're excited to go.
Okay. At the very end, his voice got a little quicker and got a little higher. Yes, Paul.
Just you don't think we doctored that. That is a in-context cut on the same microphone. That was not a technical issue in any way. That is a real cut from last night. A lot of people heard it in the postgame on NBA TV.
Okay. Well, what is this with the Pat McAfee show?
He was on the Pat McAfee show, and it happened in real time, and Pat asked him about it.
Okay, so that was that cut right there.
No.
Oh, we have one.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So here's Pat McAfee with Tyrese Haliburton.
For us, I think that for so long after P and those guys left, and Sabonis is a great player and they had other guys, but like I think for the more casual basketball fan, it wasn't
necessarily appealing. You know, like
post basketball is not appealing unless it's
Jokic or Joel or Shaq.
You know what I mean?
Like, you have two different voices.
I do. People say that all the time.
Did you hear? I didn't know if it was our microphone.
I never catch it. You know, like I watch podcasts after and I'm like, dang, my voice changed.
A credit to McAfee for hearing it and saying something. His voice didn't change like that on our show.
What?
I don't remember any of that variation there. Play the McAfee soundbite again.
For us, I think that for so long after P and those guys left, and Sabonis is a great player and they had other guys, but like I think for the more casual basketball fan, it wasn't
necessarily appealing. You know, like
post-basketball is not appealing unless it's
Jokic or Joel or Shaq.
You know what I mean?
Like, you have two different voices.
I do. People say that all the time.
Did you hear? I didn't know if it was our microphone.
I never catch it. You know, like I watch podcasts after and I'm like, dang, my voice changed.
He did. It's like there are a couple of voices in there.
Yeah, like one of them is kind of in the back of his throat.
Yeah.
And then the other one is sort of like almost out of his nose.
Yeah.
Then he went back to the deep voice.
Yes. And then he went back again like a third or fourth time. I don't even know. That's crazy.
Paulie, did you reach out to a voice expert?
Of course we did. Okay. The doctor did not want to go on record with his name, but he was...
Not on a story this hot.
From an Ivy League medical school.
Okay.
Voice changes related to the brain and nervous system are called spasmodic dysphonia. And it could be either a mental thing, where your voice does it, which is rare, they said, or polyps, nodules, or cysts on the throat that have to be dealt with that cause your voice to change moment to moment. They said it's uncommon, but happens to people. And it's usually something on your throat that causes, it's like going from, he said it's like going from this, the key, if you play guitar, key of C to the key of F with not having control of it.
Dang.
What?
I've not heard that before. That was wild.
Because I would understand the whole vocal fry thing if it's a polyps issue and that. Then, like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But to completely change, to go from those two different sounds,
damn,
it's wild.
It's scary, like you're possessed or something.
Yes, yes. They're like an exorcist type feel there. But he didn't do that when he was on our show.
I don't think he did.
Are we sure that he didn't?
Do we have Tyrese Halliburton when he was on our show?
I did not realize that there was anything with the ball until Giannis was running to our locker room. I had no idea that anything was... It was a problem that guys did not shake. We didn't shake hands after the game. But that's normal. That happens in the NBA all the time.
Okay.
That's voice two.
Okay. Does he have three or four?
We booked voice two when we booked him on the show. Yes.
Oh, he's definitely got two voices.
The other one, this was the first one that we heard.
And it was weird that he was chasing after the basketball.
Please help me. Please help me.
Thank you, Todd.
It'd be weird if one was like, this is my offense voice, this is my defense voice.
Yes, Marvin.
The best part is his voice changing takes away from the fact that he called Milwaukee's crowd garbage.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even hear what he was saying. I was just listening to how he was saying.
If I'm him, I blame it on the other voice.
Yeah, I didn't say it.
Yeah, other voice said it. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. It was Timmy Halliburton who did that.
Yeah, come on, Timmy.
And then Tommy Halliburton. But when Tyrese was talking, he didn't say anything negative.
Timmy and Tyrese.
Yeah, and Tommy. All right.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
The player who is falling... We'll find out. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, will join us coming up. More of your phone calls as well as Reggie Bush got his Heisman. You know what's interesting? All the sources we have, all the contacts we have, everybody's quiet. Ooh, Paulie just got something. Paulie just got a phone call. Okay, that's what I need. I need some information here for my audience. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton in include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Top story of the day. Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back earlier this morning in Florida. Some other Heisman Trophy winners were attending. It was a summit. They were surprised. We talked to corresponded with Eric Crouch, the Nebraska quarterback who won the Heisman. Said they were all surprised. Reggie got it back. Talked to somebody with the Heisman Trust Committee. They said the NCAA had nothing to do with this, that this had been in the works for the last couple of years. Now, there's one thing that does stand out here. The Heisman Trust is changing their own policy of only considering eligible players for the Heisman, because according to the NCAA, Reggie Bush was still ineligible to play in those games. Haven't heard anything from the NCAA, and the Heisman Trust Committee said they acted alone, not in conjunction, even though there is a defamation lawsuit pending against the NCAA. Chris in L.A. Good morning, Chris. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. I just wanted to give you a little context. I'm a lawyer here in L.A. and a SC guy, so I was following the Todd McNair, who was his Reggie's running back coach.
Yep.
He filed a defamation lawsuit and forced the NCAA to settle because the judge actually ruled that the investigation, the investigators were malicious in their investigation of him. And I believe that's why Reggie was so confident in his interview with you that everything was going to be fine, because all of that information was going to come out in his lawsuit. And there was some incredible emails between the investigators of how you could tell they were specifically going after McNair and Reggie. And so I think with the new NCAA regime, I think they may say, you know, that was the old regime and we're going to try to move forward. And they may actually reinstate his yards and maybe allow the school to have the national championship. But there's a lot of litigation and deposition evidence that came out that I think is why Reggie was confident that everything was going to be fine.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. Yeah, I haven't heard anything from the NCAA, but if this doesn't help them with the defamation lawsuit, you know, that's the interesting part. Yes, Paulie.
Amongst the luminaries at the Heisman Summit that when Reggie Bush walked in were Earl Campbell, Eric Crouch, Archie Griffin, George Rogers, Steve Spurrier, Ricky Williams, Tim Tebow was there. None of the former Heisman winners at the breakfast or whatever was going on knew Reggie Bush was even there until he walked in and got it. So it was a surprise to everybody.
All right. We still have about a half hour left. If we get any more information, we'll let you know. Steve Palazzolo, our good buddy with Pro Football Focus, and you can check it out at pff.com. They have their mock draft there. And Steve, the Pro Football Focus analyst and head of football product, co-host of the Pro Football Focus NFL show, and a friend of this show. Give me the player who's dropping right now, Steve.
Well, everybody's talking about Drake May, you know, the quarterback from UNC. I really thought at the beginning of this draft cycle he was going to be locked in at number two. But you're talking about Jaden Daniels of LSU maybe being that guy. I think the more people watch, they really love Jaden Daniels. And I think they've been a little disappointed with Drake May, some of his mechanics, missing some of the easy stuff. But I'm still a Drake May fan. So if he does fall, or a team like the Vikings packages those picks to come up and get him at, say, three or four, I think Drake May has a chance to really be a good player. And so I'm a big Drake May fan still. I'm a little surprised that people have soured on him as much as they have during the draft process.
Yeah, but you use the word good. If I'm taking a quarterback in the top five, I want him to be great.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know how many of those guys exist. There's only a handful. So, you know, it's a challenge, man. I mean, the last few years hitting on quarterbacks, I think it's because that standard, what you're saying, it looks like we miss on quarterbacks more, but it's because we put this standard of they have to be great. They have to be the next $50 million quarterback, and there's only one starter. You don't get time to develop. You know, what Green Bay did with Jordan Love is rare and may have really paid off for them. So, look, I think there's still value in having a good first contract quarterback, but choosing the next superstar, good luck if you could really do that very well going forward.
How many quarterbacks does Pro Football Focus have graded as first-round draft picks?
I think we feel good about the top three, which is you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I think as far as who we expect, I think J.J. McCarthy being there, I see him as more of a fringe first, who I think has been bumped up a little bit this offseason. And then, you know, Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, again, as I think is more of those fringe first type of guys. So depends on the view. Obviously, the quarterbacks tend to go higher because of the value of the position. But I think there's three, those top three, I think are the surefire, should be in the top 10 type of guys.
This always amazes people when I ask this question, because the answer is not always as obvious as you would think. But if I said the best player in the draft is who?
So, yeah, obviously we're taking positional value out of it. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the guy at Ohio State. I think the subtleties to his game as a receiver, the big question is going to be, well, he didn't work out, and we don't know how fast he is. And the guy that he's competing with for the top receiver spot, Malik Nabers, went out there and tested and looked explosive. But I think Marvin Harrison Jr., just outstanding as a just all-around receiver, body control, route running.
But you're not big on a wide receiver top five pick, right?
I'm fine with that top five. I think receiver is right up there as the most valuable non-QB position in the NFL. Now, they are easier to find in rounds two and three, but I think there's three blue-chip receivers in this draft. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., it's Malik Nabers, it's Roma Dunze from Washington. I'd be fine with any of those top three receivers going top five, top 10, because I think the value is absolutely there at the position.
Have teams ever reached out to Pro Football Focus privately asking questions, or could you do research on this, or what do you have on this player?
Yeah, there's been a lot of stories throughout the years. I can't really divulge most of them, but look, every team has PFF data. They all have our data and other data sources, and they all have some level of analytics team or department or football research department that's doing work with our data. And I think that's the interesting thing. When you hear, Dan, when you hear these other analysts say, well, the analytics would say, you know, that there's no such thing, right? It's the same data that's being used a plethora of different ways, right? You change one variable, it changes the outcome. But I'll tell you this, every NFL team is using the data and information to try to make the best decision. They just all sometimes come to different conclusions.
Help me understand what the Broncos are doing at the quarterbacking position.
I can't wait to see what they do, right? You've got the Sean Payton factor. Is he going to be impatient? And the fact that the Broncos are now sitting on the massive dead cap of Russell Wilson. And because of the Sean Payton trade, they don't have a second round pick. So of all the QB desperate teams, the Broncos are probably in the worst position to go make a move. They're sitting there at 12 overall. They have five or six teams ahead of them who also need quarterbacks. So I think it's one of the biggest stories of the draft. Will the Broncos mortgage even more of the future, give up? They have to give up future draft capital if they're going to go get a guy, or they're going to sit there at 12, take a non-quarterback and get like a Bo Nix in the second round. So I think it's probably the Bo Nix move. I think it's going to be tough for the Broncos to move up and compete with teams like the Vikings, who just have so much more to offer those top teams.
He's Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, NFL analyst, and head of football product, also co-host of the Pro Football Focus NFL show. I don't know if New England's doing this. If they are, I applaud them, because I don't want to draft a quarterback and not have the infrastructure to help him succeed. They learned from Mac Jones, at least I think they would, that if you draft Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, you're going to go back to what you had before, and that is you don't have a good team around him. It feels like maybe they're going to build a team, and then they're going to try to get their quarterback maybe next year or the year after that. Your thoughts?
I'm usually of the mind that you draft the quarterback, but I think in this situation, you're right. I mean, not only are they completely rebuilding, I think the offensive line needs work. The playmakers absolutely need help. You know, they're in an AFC East where you're trying to compete with the Buffalo Bills, who are still really good, and the Jets, who are going for it these next couple of years, and the Dolphins, who are good. You're not going to put a dent in that, I don't think, in the next year or two. The human dynamic here, though, is the Robert Kraft factor, right? I mean, coming off of four losses, you know, basically disappointing seasons post Tom Brady, getting older in age, how much does that, you know, become a factor? But on paper, New England should be a trade down candidate, should be a build the infrastructure first, then get the quarterback type of team. New head coach, new regime, new everything. They should be saying, hey, let's compete in 2025 and 26 instead of just, you know, looking to this year. But I don't know how that's going to work with Robert Kraft as the owner.
Also, do we look at the Dolphins' blueprint and our team's going to try to emulate the blueprint with their wide receivers, with that offense, with what, you know, Mike McDaniel is doing?
I mean, it's tough to emulate the fastest team in the league. I do love the speed, though. I think it's been a perfect blend and marriage, though, of Mike McDaniel, who's an outstanding play caller, comes from the Shanahan tree. They're awesome at getting guys into space. And then, hey, let's put the fastest players in the NFL into space. I think the tough thing to replicate is, you know, Tyreek Hill is one of one when it comes to speed. And they did happen to find the, you know, one of the guys that's close in Jalen Waddle. So I think it's tough to replicate. But what I would replicate is loading up at playmaker, at receiver, because I think that's what made Tua take that big step in year three of his career. And I think that's how you support your first contract quarterbacks. Goes back to what you said about receiver value. I think receiver value is absolutely massive and through the roof in the NFL, because that's how you make your quarterbacks better.
What teams are bad at drafting?
Oh, man. I mean, look, a lot of people have been fired, so you can't say they're still bad. But, you know, look, a team like the Raiders over the last 10 years has certainly missed on a lot of first-round picks. Remember, they had the Khalil Mack trade, which I thought had a chance to really reset that organization, and they come away with Cleveland Furl, who was a bit of a stretch at number four. They came away with a running back in Josh Jacobs, a safety in Jonathan Abram. So the Raiders have done a poor job, I think, historically with their first-round picks over the last 10 years. Again, we've got a whole new regime there. And I think teams that overall generally just that pick needs more than just literally taking the best players, you know, relative to positional value, there's a few adjustments and tweaks that you would make. But when you go into the draft and you say, I have to have a tackle, I have to have a corner, I have to have a safety, that's when mistakes are made. So I think the teams that really are true to their board, evaluate the players, take the best players, over time, they're going to build the strongest rosters.
More likely to draft a quarterback, the Rams or the Cowboys?
Oh, man, I think the Rams. I'm not sold that the Cowboys are ready to move on from Dak yet, despite all the noise and the fact that they're pushing themselves up against the wall. I think the Rams, just because I think it's in their nature, Les Snead, they drafted a quarterback last year in Stetson Bennett. Les Snead loved Stetson Bennett. I think there's a little bit of an eye to the future for the Rams because Matthew Stafford, getting a little bit older, battled so many injuries the last few years. I'll say the Rams more likely, and I still believe the Cowboys will come back to Dak and figure things out going forward.
Best defensive player in the draft is?
Laiatu Latu from UCLA, the edge defender. If he did not have the neck fusion a couple years ago, the injury concerns, the medical retirement at Washington, I think this was clear as day. Latu is one of the best pass rushers we've seen since collecting data on college football since 2014. I think he should be the pick at eight if Atlanta's going edge rusher over Dallas Turner from Alabama. So if Latu, it's another story I'll be keeping an eye on. If he falls to the mid-teens, or even into the 20s because of the injury, it reminds me of Derwin James a few years ago, fell to 17 to the Chargers, and they got a top five player in the draft. that's what a team's getting. Top five player in the draft if Latu falls to the team. So could be a massive steal if the injury does pop up in the first round.
Who did Pro Football Focus have as the number one quarterback last year?
I think we had Bryce Young just ahead of C.J. Stroud. I don't think we were different from a lot of other outlets, but yeah, it was Bryce Young then C.J. Stroud.
No. You're supposed to be different than other. Or don't do that. Hey, we weren't the only ones that may have missed on this.
Look, I mean, we were completely different in 2018 and wrong when we had Baker Mayfield. We felt great about Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I'll happily admit that one. But yeah, the data said Bryce Young slightly over C.J. Stroud last year.
Oh, great to talk to you. Have fun tomorrow. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. While I was doing the interview, so Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy. And I had somebody say the following to me in an email. What if the Heisman Trophy Committee decided to be the good guys and get out in front of this? And you know a lawsuit's already happening with the NCAA. And maybe there's a lawsuit headed towards the Heisman because you want your Heisman back. And the Heisman Committee all of a sudden says, we've decided to give him his Heisman back. How about the public sentiment? Everybody's going, hey, the Heisman Trust Committee, yeah, they're the good guys. I still have an issue. The Heisman Trust changed their own policy of only considering eligible players for the Heisman. According to the NCAA, Reggie Bush was still ineligible to play in those games. NCAA hadn't changed anything. And I guess there's still the defamation lawsuit. But the Heisman Trust does come out as the good guys. Hey, now, we were told by the Heisman Trust, the NCAA was not involved in any of this. And they were very, very adamant about that. So, okay. We'll take a break. We'll get to more phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
I forget where I saw the report. I don't know, Bleacher Report, CBS Sports. An anonymous GM or former GM said that Caleb Williams reminds him of Prince and that would make him nervous if he's going to draft him. I would think that would be a good thing. I mean, now you could say, well, he's a solo artist and you need a team player, but Prince is pretty talented. So I'm not sure where that comes from, that, you know, the paint your fingernails or your pink cell phone or whatever it is. I just want to know when if you can play. That's it. Because once you step on the field, the other stuff doesn't matter. Can you play? That's it. By the way, that moment where Anthony Edwards is trash-talking Kevin Durant during game one was awesome. Because KD, his place in history is firm. It's in cement. But Anthony Edwards is establishing himself, and you can tell that when Anthony Edwards starts trash-talking Kevin Durant, Durant knows that he's right in what he's saying. He can't do anything about it, but he does smile as if to say, I respect you, young pup.
I love that about Kevin Durant. Like it's like being he's such a like school ground or schoolyard at the park kind of basketball player still.
Yeah.
And that the just the art of trash talk is so important to the game, and gosh, does he just seem to revel in it, whether he's dishing it out or taking it in, it's all good.
Because he had to eat it in the moment.
Yeah.
Ant-Man's going like, man, we are killing you. We're bringing it, man. And you could see where Durant kind of bumps him and is like, all right, yeah, you're right. And they won again, so they're up 2-0. Does Phoenix do anything drastic? Let's say they bow out in five games. Can you do anything? I don't know. Feels like this is how they're riding. You know, like Bradley Beal, okay. He just wasn't healthy enough this year. KD still can be KD, and then you got Booker. Is Booker untouchable? I guess. But, yeah, I wonder what will happen there. The Pacers beat the Bucks. They roughed them up. Timberwolves up 2-0. And let me see. We got games coming up tonight. The Heat are getting 14.5 against Boston. Pelicans are getting 7.5 against OKC. Couple other phone calls here, Reggie Bush related. Zao in Oakland, if I got that right.
You got it right, DP. First time, long time, 5'6", 163. A's, Warriors, Niners, Cal Bears fan. I was going to talk about Reggie real quick. He just Heisman the Kardashian curse. And secondly, I just want to say Mason Miller from the Oakland A's, 103, gas, gas, gas. Lastly, Marvin, mama, we made it. Thank you, DP.
All righty. Yeah. Yeah, this Miller kid, he's bringing cheese. We don't follow Oakland because there's really no reason. We're waiting for them to relocate. But, yeah. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 200, Mason Miller for the Athletics. Witness protection playing out there. He had an inning where he had more pitches above 100 than below. Scares me.
Well, I'm talking to a physical therapist. I'm going through some physical therapy. And he has dealt with, you know, Tommy John surgery and players coming back from Tommy John. And he said, it's frightening. You actually have parents now who are asking doctors to do Tommy John before they need Tommy John. Like elective surgery for somebody who's 13 or 14 years of age. He said, It's out of control. Hey, we know he's going to need it eventually. Let's get it now. And I go, wow. And I don't know if, any kind of medical studies show that'll you know, prevent you from getting it again? I have no idea. But you got some, you know, pitchers getting it twice. Wild. Mo in Arizona. Mo, good to have you back.
Morning, Dan.
Morning, Dan.
as far as the poll question goes, who cares? We all know none of that really matters until they get on the field, no matter how they rate them, whatever. But as far as the Heisman goes, I grew up a UCLA boy, so I don't really care for Reggie Bush. But in his defense, California a few years back did go back for a lot of felony marijuana charges and released a whole bunch of prisoners because they dropped them all down to misdemeanors.
You're right. Thank you, Mo. He's right. John in Oregon. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Nice to long time. Pretty excited. Just going to Reggie Bush. You mentioned earlier, you know, rewriting history. You know, that's what the NCAA is doing effectively with this. While I agree that's a slippery slope, I will say, just as devil's advocate, wasn't going back and vacating those wins, say the Fab Five, USC, isn't that technically rewriting? So we're basically rewriting or bringing back history?
Yeah, I guess you could say we're rewriting. But this isn't the NCAA. This is the Heisman Trust that did this, not the NCAA. He's technically still ineligible. Yes, Seton.
Right. If this was a Back to the Future movie, which part of history would we currently be in?
Oh.
Something happened, then you erased it, then you bring it back.
Mm.
Is this the part where Biff is the millionaire, or are we back in the 50s? I don't know.
Charlie. Marlon
Barry.
Charlie in Tampa. Hey, Charlie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, Danettes, I love you. I've waited over 2 hours to make this call. I have a two-part call. I'll make it quick. First, I hope my Jets don't pass up Michael Penix or Bo Nix with the 10th pick in the draft. I do not trust Aaron Rodgers' health, nor do I trust his ayahuasca addiction. And the second half of my call, I would like you, Dan, as uncomfortable as this may be, in light of the draft theme, I would like you to draft the Danettes, knowing them now. Where would you draft them?
Oh, so if I was drafting the Danettes, Yeah, I'd have to get Pro Football Focus to help me a little bit. Mel Kiper, I'd have to get the analytics here. They're all first round picks in my book. They're all lottery picks. It's too late in the show to do this, and then all of a sudden, you know.
Or you could do it and get out of here.
No, because, you know, Todd always complains that he's got a long ride home, and whenever it's a bad day,
the pick is in.
I'll take Todd number one.
That's How's only that? Because I would cry all the way
yes,
home.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I would take you numero uno. This day in sports history, Paulie.
1994, David Robinson of the Spurs scored 71 points against the L.A. Clippers. And 1963, the Boston Celtics won their fifth straight NBA title.
2004, on this day, this team selected a quarterback who didn't want to play for him. Eli Manning and the Chargers, the then San Diego Chargers, this day in 2004. Let's go around the room. What we learned, Todd, what'd you learn today?
Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus believes Marvin Harrison Jr., the best overall player in this draft.
Seton.
I don't know how we'll do it at the next level, but Drake May, nice kid.
Marvin.
Timmy and Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, and Tommy with his different voices. Paulie.
Halliburton, fascinating.
Todd, what did I learn?
ESPN's Matt Miller says if you're an aspiring GM, don't follow the blueprint of the Cowboys or Saints.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help. Express is hiring for jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Check out expresspros.com. Find the location nearest to you, expresspros.com. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge.
Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.